Mainly.
We'll talk with an immigration lawyer about the calls he's getting as Trump prepares to take office. That's next time on Here and Now.
You'll hear Here and Now this afternoon from 1 till 3 here on your public radio. Programming today is made possible by St. Vincent de Paul of Baltimore, a nonprofit whose mission is to help those in the community suffering from the effects of hunger, homelessness, and poverty. To learn how you can help make the holiday season a little brighter for a homeless family or child, vincentbaltimore.org/WYPRholiday. Support comes from Keswick, offering a dementia-focused adult day program. Keswick's medically-supported adult day services program has a registered nurse on staff and provides holistic and engaging memory care. More on Keswick's activity-based approach to personalized adult day services is online at choosekeswick.org. And support comes from Charm City Craft Mafia, presenting Holiday Heap, an alternative craft show featuring ceramics, art, jewelry, and more, handmade by local and regional artists. Food provided by the Doobies. It's this Saturday, December 10th, from 10 to 5 at 2640 St. Paul Street. More information is on the web at charmcitycraftmafia.com. Upper 40s highs this afternoon, upper 20s lows tonight. This is 88.1 WYPR.
And Thursday afternoons are the days that we check in with our intrepid theater critic, Jay Wynn Russick. Judy, how you doing?
Fine, thank you, Tom. How are you?
Doing great, thank you. So we're going to talk today about A Christmas Story, the musical. That's a new rendition of the late author and radio TV celebrity Gene Shepherd's story about a kid at Christmas who wants a particular gift. The story was turned into a movie in 1983, and it's been a perennial holiday favorite ever since. So now it's a musical. There's a lot of musicals based on movies. There was just one last night on television, Hairspray by your good friend John Waters. So Christmas Story is the latest example to come to Baltimore. Is this a logical choice for a musical?
Yes, I really think it is, and for several reasons, Tom. The movie, as you mentioned, 1983, A Christmas Story, was not a musical. It was a nostalgic family comedy that was set in a fictitious town, Homan, Indiana, in 1940. And I think it's a good source for a musical for several reasons. Most obviously, it's about Christmas, a time associated with music, as you well know,
yes,
Tom.
I know a little about that. Yes, that's right.
And the show's songwriters, Benj Pasek and Justin Paul, haven't actually created any new Christmas carols for this, but they've put a lot of funny numbers into it, and there are some really warm-hearted songs. The character of the mother has kind of an anthem to motherhood called What a Mother Does. It's very, very touching. And then there's the issue of people, in this case primarily children, who care so deeply about something, who want something so very badly that they're moved to sing. And for little Ralphie Parker, the hero of A Christmas Story, I think a number of people in the audience will already know what he wants most, but in case you don't, I brought you a song.
The fever was well upon me. For months I had thought about a Red Ryder air rifle, and now there it was, the real thing.
You don't need a steed to be a cowboy. No, you're not a hero just by galloping off in the sun. What you really need to be a cowboy, fearless, keeping bandits trembling on the run. It's a Red Ryder carbine, action be begun.
Ah, yes. A touching story of a boy and his gun. That's Miles Moore as Ralphie in A Christmas Story, the musical. But the speaking voice we heard at the beginning of that, right, was Chris Carsten. He plays the narrator. So I'm told, because I haven't seen the flick, but I'm told that narration was a big part of the movie. So how's that work on stage? Is there still a narrator through this whole thing?
Yes, there is. And Tom, as you mentioned, the source material was by the humorist Gene Shepherd. And the narrator,
he was like a radio guy.
Yes, yes, yes.
Type,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. The narrator is actually called Gene Shepherd in the play. And Shepherd, who died in 1999, was an Indiana-born storyteller. Most of his stories were about growing up in a small town in Indiana, and they were semi-autobiographical. He created a kind of alter ego called Ralphie. As you pointed out, he was on the radio. He spent 2 decades at WOR in New York, and he also had syndicated shows on PBS in the 70s and 80s. He actually was compared to Mark Twain. The New York Times once said that he inspired a cult of intense proportions, which this show is certainly witness to. Shepard himself narrated that 1983 movie version of A Christmas Story, and it was largely based on one of his books with the great title, In God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash. And the movie absolutely enlarged the Gene Shepard cult. The narrator figures a little less prominently on stage, but we see Chris Carsten in a pair of comfrey corduroys and a sweater vest, and he opens each act sitting at a microphone in a New York radio station. He also closes the show. And when we meet little 9-year-old Ralphie, he is also wearing a green sweater vest, and they have the same horn-rimmed glasses. So there's a mixture of narration and live action, and it actually blends very well.
Sweater vests and guns. I don't know. It just seems weird to me, Judy. But, I mean, does the musical stick closely to the movie in other respects as well?
Well, the script is by Joseph Robinette, who I believe you spoke to on the air. And the program for the play acknowledges that it is based on the movie. And the movie, as we've said, focuses on little Ralphie. And his greatest goal, as we heard, is this gun, the Red Ryder BB gun. The show does stick remarkably closely to the movie. There are some small changes, and there's some changes in the order of some of the events. For example, Ralphie's friend Flick gets his tongue stuck to the schoolyard flagpole in freezing weather on a dare. This is a big moment in the movie, and it comes fairly early in the movie. It comes after intermission on stage. Not a big change. But all of the iconic elements from the movie are there. The pink bunny suit that Ralph's aunt gives him for Christmas, one of several elements that at the Hippodrome on opening night got applause just when people saw it. The leg lamp that Ralph's father wins in a contest, it's a disembodied woman's leg in a black fishnet stocking with a fringed lampshade, perhaps the most iconic element. I bet, Tom, even if you've never seen this movie, you have seen this lamp and thought, what in the world is that? So
I don't recall, but maybe holiday times.
You're going to see it everywhere
now. I'm too
now.
Obsessed with Chia Pets at this time of year, so I'm not shopping for lamps.
Well, the leg lamp's a big thing. And the show also has these out-of-control dogs that belong to Ralph's family's neighbors. They make several appearances. So how iconic is all this stuff? Well, you may not be familiar with the lamp, but there was a man seated 4 seats away from me who was wearing a sweater that had the image of the leg lamp woven into the sweater.
A true fan.
Oh, and there was a man sitting behind me who was wearing a T-shirt that had a picture of Ralphie and around it the words, "You'll shoot your eye out," which is the adult reaction to this whole BB gun request on Ralphie's part. All the adults, including Santa, say this. I have to admit, and you've certainly picked up on this, Tom, that some of this is not very PC. I mean, the idea of giving a 9-year-old a gun, even a BB gun, for Christmas, a little odd. But it was a different era. And the show conjures up nostalgia for that sort of more innocent time period between the wars, after the Depression, and also for this middle America setting. I'm from Ohio. I'm not from Indiana. But the show also had a degree of nostalgia for me personally. Part of the movie was shot in my hometown of Cleveland, and there's a really scary scene with Santa, and that was shot at the late, great Cleveland department store Higbee's. Higbee's is identified by name in the script. The Higbee's sign appears a couple times. So the show satisfies nostalgia for this kind of old-fashioned lifestyle, as well as nostalgia for the movie itself.
Interesting. Well, you make a good point about the source material, the movie being the source material for a musical, and that the characters have a reason to sing. I'm intrigued by that, and I'm interested in that. But talk about then some of the songs that they're singing and how they're staged.
Well, Ralphie has a series of fantasies in the movie, heroic deeds that he will perform as a cowboy with his Red Ryder rifle. And those fantasies come to life on stage, particularly in a big production number called Ralphie to the Rescue. And we see Ralphie wielding his gun and saving his teacher from a villain and foiling a bank robbery. And there's a new This is PC. There's a new spin on cowboys and Indians where Ralphie saves an Indian from a bad guy who's wearing prison stripes. This fantasy also includes a whole slew of tap dancing kids on hobby horses. It's adorable. And then another, you know, deep desire, reason to sing. Ralphie's father, who's played by Christopher Swan, is determined to win one of the many, many contests, often crossword puzzle type contests that he enters. And he does win a major award, as it's called, and it is the leg lamp. And that becomes a big production number with dancers dancing with illuminated leg lamps as props. The mother does a turn wearing a skirt that looks like a lampshade. And best of all, the leg lamps kick up their heels as part of a kick line. It's really something to see.
And leg lamps go rockets.
Oh, yeah, there absolutely, absolutely. Ralphie has this really strict teacher, and she gets to cut loose in a production number where she becomes a performer in a speakeasy, and the students are kind of child gangsters, another sort of questionable PC thing. And that number, however, features this real show-stopping tap number by a child actor named Lucas Marinetto, who also plays the school bully. And then there's that opening number that crops up repeatedly throughout the show.
Not a second can we spare, 'cause it all comes down to Christmas. We're pulling out our hair, 'cause it all comes down to Christmas. We've got one shot, and it's 24 days away. We have to hurry up, 'cause it all comes down Christmas Day.
All right, the touring company of A Christmas Story, the musical. A lot of kids in this cast. How do they do? How do their adult counterparts do? Is this a thumbs up, a thumbs even, a thumbs
down?
Oh,
no, it's a thumbs up. These kids are, don't give a weak performance among them, and the adults as well. The boy I saw, by the way, they alternate in the role. I saw a boy named Austin Molinaro. He sang with style and complete assurance. Everybody was a polished pro up there. Tickets to this show would be a great early Christmas gift, and you can solve some of your gift-giving problems in the lobby, Tom. You can buy
you can buy
the
a
leg lamp.
There you go. All right, I know where to go. Linnell, guess what you're getting under the tree? A Christmas Story. The musical is at the historic Hippodrome Theater in Baltimore until Sunday afternoon on our website, wypr.org/midday. We've got links to the details about show times, etc. So next week, we're going to talk about Center Stage's show. What's that one?
That's Les Liaisons Dangereuses.
Les Liaisons Dangereuses. Well, thanks, Judy. We will see you then. That's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, we'll talk sports with Mark Hyman of George Washington University and John Eisenberg of BaltimoreRavens.com. The Ravens face the mighty New England Patriots Sunday afternoon, coming off a decisive victory over the Miami Dolphins last week. We'll handicap their chances against Tom Brady and company, and we'll take a look at what's been going on with the Orioles during their offseason. Plus, Judy Russick will be back tomorrow with an interview with the actor and playwright Coleman Domingo, whose show Dot is at the Everyman Theater. Thanks to Eddie's of Roland Park for providing lunch for our guests today. Eddie's is a full-service market with locations on North Charles Street and on Roland Avenue in Roland Park. Their deli features unique sandwiches and salads with specials every day listed on their website, eddiesofrolandpark.com. Thanks so much for joining us. Stay tuned now for Here and Now, coming right up after a break for the news. I'm Tom Hall. Have a great day.
This is Your Public Radio, 88.1 WYPR. Here and Now is coming up next, then stay with us at 3 for Fresh Air.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk about covering Donald Trump with the executive editor of the New York Times, Dean Baquet. We'll talk about deciding how to cover Trump's tweets, how the Times chose which stories to investigate, how it dealt with Trump's threat to sue over a story, the Times meeting with Trump, and how to label his inaccurate statements. Join us.
Fresh Air, this afternoon at 3, here on your NPR news station, WYPR. It'll be followed this afternoon at 4 by All Things Considered with a roundup of the day's top news. Then it's business news at 6:30 on Marketplace. The year 2016 has been an eventful and emotional one. Through it all, you've been able to tune to WYPR for the information you need to make sense of our changing world. A big thanks to our members whose financial contributions have made it possible, and an extra thanks to our sustaining members whose ongoing pledges of $5 or $10 a month have helped us significantly reduce on-air fundraising so we can bring you more of the news you need to hear. If you're not a sustaining member, now's a great time for you to become one. Your year-end pledge is tax-deductible, and when you pledge today, you'll be helping us bring you great radio in the year to come. Come to WYPR.org, click the donate link, and become a sustaining member today with a pledge of $5 a month or $10 a month. And if you're already a sustaining member, why not chip in an extra buck a month or two? It'll go a long way to help. And of course, thanks so much. In addition to the support of our members, support for WYPR comes from the National Aquarium, where your visiting contributions help support their mission to conserve and protect the world's aquatic treasures. Learn more about volunteer and membership opportunities with the National Aquarium at aqua.org. This is WYPR and WYPR HD 1 Baltimore, WYPF Frederick, WYPO Ocean City, and online, WYPR.org. It's 1 o'clock.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now. Coming up, Donald Trump goes after an Indiana union leader over the deal that kept jobs at the Carrier factory.
Also, the survivor whose video shows how he barely escaped the Tennessee wildfires.
And Britain's Supreme Court hears arguments that the British Parliament must weigh in before Britain leaves.